And Axel, it's great to have you on the radio show again. And talk about the new album. You have a new album that came out with some re-recorded tracks, as well as some stuff that has appeared on past records. You know, you have this, what do you want to call it? A compilation, let's say, of tracks from all the other albums you put out. And talk about the new album, The Galactose Tapes.
Okay, we made the best of from Offscanner for 30 years playing now in this band, and we had a compilation with two CDs. It's one from the normal origin versions of the songs, and we made another with a new re-recordings of a few songs of these best of with to present our thing. And we wanted to present our singer, long-time singer FT, with this old material, you know. Because we make always 20 years now, no, not 20, but it's nearly 30 years we play with FT now. And we he is always singing all these old songs, etc. And the people are always asking for some live stuff with him, but we never had the chance to record some live stuff. So we just came over to get these recordings with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, on the first playlist ever in the history of my radio show, Scanner was the only band that actually had two songs on the playlist that got played that night. And, you know, it was one of those things. The way I discovered Scanner was that I used to go and listen to records when I'd play a public service show after my radio show at the time. So the two songs that ended up getting played are both songs I really love. I still love those songs to this day. And I want to ask you about both of them, you know, what they were about, you know, maybe give me some insight on what these songs are written about. But the first one is going to be Across the Universe off of the Hypertrace album. And then the next one is going to be Wonder, which is off the album Terminal Earth.
Yeah. Okay. Across the Universe, you said it was conceptual from our first album because, yes, we had this chorus line with yeah, very catchy melody, etc., you know, and we had this concept from science fiction, and this is all in this song, and it was the single from this album, and it should have been a video for, but that was never made, so it was, yeah, somehow it was not done. I don't know exactly the reasons why, but the record company didn't want to spend more money on the whole production. So that was normally it was our single, and yes, and then Wonder is from the second album. It's from Terminal Earth, and it has nothing to do with the science fiction concept because our singer, he didn't like this concept. It was Sosherko, he didn't accept that what the band did before, you know, and he said, okay, I will do my own style, and then coming all these other lyrics, and then it was a theme about his personal situation. And so this are totally different themes in these songs. First it was from the science fiction concept, and the other was very personally. He's got no money in his pocket, etc., and as a musician you have to have the crowd as your payment, you know, and people will applaud, etc. And this is two different stories.
Now, the song Galactose, which you begin the compilation with, my question for you, Axel, is this. That song was obviously part of the concept behind Hypertrace, but it was never included on the actual album. And out of curiosity, why did you guys not put that song on the album?
Yeah, first it was at this time, you have to remember that there was always this vinyl limitation. You know, you have 20 minutes per side to get good quality on the vinyl. And our producer said, okay, you have the choice to have 8 or 9 songs on this vinyl thing, and if you make these characters, what we recorded before we made this session for the album, it was 2 months before, it was another technician who did this, and it was mixed different. And he said, okay, it sounds different, so he would not like to have this on the album, and we should drop it. And I said, okay, but it's for our conception, it's necessary. But he said, no, remember the 20 minutes per side, etc., and then you can do what you want, but don't use this song. And, yeah, for vinyl, we had to do this choice. And after this, coming to the CD scene, you know, it was at this time where the break was from vinyl to CD. And that it was no problem anymore. And we said, hey, why is it not on the German version of the CD? And there was no reason anymore not to do it on the CD. But the record company did the master tapes like it was for the vinyl. And when we made the contract with the Japanese people, they said, hey, there's no reason why not that should not be on the album. So for CD, it was no problem.
Now, Axel, the songs that you re-recorded on this compilation, the older songs that were redone, you know, my question is, why were these specific songs picked for this compilation?
Yes, we put these specific tracks because we most like them. When we play all of this stuff live, you know, and we have fun with some songs we like more, or some the singer FT likes some more than the other. And we said, okay, let's have a compilation of what we play live and what we like very much in playing live. And then this was the choice how to choose these songs. Every song that we record is all in our live setup.
So basically, the next best thing to a live album is re-record songs with the new singer.
Yes, that's exactly what. Exactly that way, because we have no live recordings at the moment.
Now, you obviously put a new album out about a year or two ago, and you know, what was the reaction to that record? Because it was the first new album Scanner had put out in a long time, so you guys kind of really hadn't put anything out for a long time. And what was the fan reaction like for this latest studio album that you put out?
Yeah, because we were not gone. We were just not in making new albums because the band always existed, and it was just we were playing live a lot. And whenever we played somewhere, the people asked, when is the next album coming? And we always said, yeah, we're working on this. And 2007, we had started to record all this stuff, nearly a new album, and then we got the problem that we had to change the studio because the studio was renovated or something, and we took all the data on a hard disk record, on hard disk, and put that out of the studio. And when we turned back to the recordings, then our records were spoiled. And we had a virus on this one disk, and it was spoiling all these recordings. And then we had to start normally. We had to start again from the beginning. And but it was frustrating because you invested so much money and for the records and time, etc. And then it was spoiled. And after that, we decided, yes, if we record again, we do it with our own studio. We want to build our own studio in our rehearsal room. And that took a lot of money and time. And then after that, we started again. And it was 2015.
Right.
That was always existing. It was not a break in that we didn't want to do that, you know. It just was
right.
That we had no money anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and after that, when we recorded that, then we were totally free in our time and schedule, etc., and we could do it for what we liked and not with the limitation of money or time or anything, you know, and that was very fine. So after we had done that, then there was so long break that everybody who knew Scanner from the past, he had an eye on that and said, okay, it's a good album, but you know, you have so much, you lost so much time that you can't get these new people. You have to be present for that. You have to be in the magazines, etc. And that was what we have missed. We were not in the magazines because we had no records.
You know, when a new album came out, was the internet a big help for you? Was social media a much bigger help for you in promoting the band as opposed to, say, relying on a magazine?
Yeah, I think the internet is because of why we survived. Because there were people all over the world who asked what's going on with Scanner, etc. They were always in contact with us. And that helped a lot because we saw there were fans around, you know. And otherwise, we made 2001, we had the Scantropolis album. It was with a female singer.
Mm-hmm.
It was it was more a project than, you know, what I can see from now, from this point. It was a total change from the band, you know. And after that, I knew, 2 years later, when we did Scantropolis, I knew I would never do that again. So I wanted back to the roots. And people just who knew that, and were in metal, they said, okay, the band has died. It's not my style, it's not heavy metal, it's shit. They were really hard with the justice about the band. And after that, normally you are finished, you are done, you know. And they said, okay, no, why? It was experiment like some other bands always had in their career, like maybe for Judas Priest it was Turbo. Mm-hmm. In Europe, there was many people said, Judas Priest died with Turbo because this is pop music, you know. And for American, it was the breakthrough, you know.
Right.
For Judas Priest, for example. And so every nation criticized a band on her own view. That's like, in Germany it's very hard. If you make like an album like Skintopolis, then you're totally out of metal. So and after that break, we had to come back to the roots, and we said, okay, we do what we want. We just after the new singer, and we did not want to make in first line a recording. We just wanted to be a present band, you know.
Right.
That was the aim.
Well, if you look at the liner notes in Hypertrace on your first album, Ralph Sheepers did a lot of the backing vocals on the record, and then of course on Ball of the Damned, he did a guest song with you as well, Puppet on a String. So, how did Ralph get involved with the band early on when you guys started out?
Yeah, we had the problem that when we wanted to record Hypertrace, that our singer was ill. He could not, 2 months before the recordings, he could not get a word out of his throat because he got some really, with his voice, he got really big problems. He had not to talk for 6 or 7 weeks, and we did not know if he could do the album. And our producer said, okay, we have to have a backup, and this was Ralph. He just was engaged to make the album Major could not sing this, you know. And if Major was not fit for the album, Ralph Sheepers would be our singer. And he was in studio, so he was paid for that, you know. And when we recorded the album, then Major could sing it, and he said, okay, I can just help you doing choirs anymore because he's fit. He can do that, his job. Mm-hmm. And so while I'm here, I can make you help in the choirs, you know, in choirs, in maybe some lead voice to make a second voice or something. And then we worked 2 weeks with Ralph. And then coming thinking about, Ralph is looking for a band, our singer was ill, should we ask him, you know? But you can't do that because you are friends with your old singer and you want to get, you don't blame him in asking the other singer to be your front man, you know? It's not possible. Yeah, but, you know, after that, when we did the album, it was just 1 year, then Major left the band, you know, and I said, okay, maybe it was the wrong decision not to ask Ralph for being singer in Scanner.
Now, you know, obviously a book came out a year or two ago about Noise Records and about a lot of the bands on there, and I have to ask you, because those were the first couple records you put out was with Noise Records, it's obviously very controversial. A lot of the people in the bands really either liked Carl or they hated him. Yeah, and Carl Walterbach, and that's who I'm speaking of, was the former owner of Noise Records. So people either loved him or hated him, and, you know, he usually gave bands an album or two, and if it didn't do well, obviously, he at least gave them their chance. And talk about your experience and Scanner's time on Noise Records.
Yeah, problem is, it's that, like you said, so you can love him or you can hate him. There's nothing between, because what he did for the scene, it was like it was the number one label for heavy metal in Germany. It was more than every big company, every major label ever did for the HM, for the heavy metal scene. Mm-hmm. And so that was for every band joining a contract or being in this Noise, it was a good step in the business. But then coming all these buts, you know, what he's doing is to give you a chance. Then what he's doing is not to give you the money.
Right.
Then coming all these problems with the rights. You know, if you are a big band, then you want to have the right to be free and to do what you want. And all this was then coming from the bad side, from noise, from Karl Rudolf Walterbach. You were not a free person. You had to do what he has to wants you to do, and all this stuff. And then, yeah, if you are in this mill and you cannot get, you can't escape, you know, then you feel uncomfortable.
Right.
And there were some big struggles between management and the noise record company and all this private stuff, you know, and this is not the, the fine thing of the story. And in my case, it was, you we definitely not featured in the book, because after the second recording, the Terminal Earth, there was a big dispute with my singer with noise records.
Mm-hmm.
He told his opinion about the record company, and he had a big fight with the secretary in the company. And then Karl Ulrich Walterbach was phoning me and said, Axel, you have no singer anymore. Find a new singer, or it was the last thing you did with my company. So I said, okay, this is my second singer now, and I won't find very soon a third singer. You know, it's not possible just to change singers like you, change trousers, etc.
Right.
And yeah, and yeah, but you have to find, but this guy will never do a recording with Noise Records anymore. So this was the end of the fight. And I said, okay, I have a contract with Noise Records. And he would not release me out of this, and I would be kept in for 20 years maybe. And I asked him, I bet him, please, if my singer is not doing an album with you, with your company anymore, please release me from your contract. And he said, okay, I will think about it. And 1 week later, he said, okay, you are released, and I gave a dime on you. Scanner was a complete an error.
Like a failure?
So, and then, yeah, and he said, okay, that's finished for me now, and you are out of the contract. And 1 year, 1 week later, it was then two weeks after that dispute with the singer, there was, in every magazine, it was the news from Noise to the to the whole world, we stopped doing business with Scanner. That was like what he was doing, and that, you know, normally the company who is a major company ever done that, a major company just would stand above the things, you know. But that's Karl Ulrich Walterbach, and he wanted to ruin me, you know. And he said, okay, the band is not worth it, and nobody else would make a contract with you anymore. Yeah, and that was the end. Normally, it was the end of the career.
Right.
Yeah, and that's maybe he's got all these troubles and all these little fights with other bands as well.
Yeah, when you read the book, it almost seems like people really got along with him. Like, Rock and Roll from Running Wild never had a problem with Karl or anything going on in the with the label. And then, of course, you had the whole Helloween thing, which everybody pretty much knows about, and, you know, other bands that didn't really have a lot of nice things to say. And then you had Creator, who were kind of like the workhorse that I don't think, you know, he was as big of a fan of, you know, when you read the book, but they at least went out and played gigs, and, you know, they were playing on the road constantly, and they were booking shows constantly for that band.
Yeah, but it was like this, because I can remember I was with Miller in his flat in the studio in Hanover. It was their, I think, second or third album they were recording, and we were in Hanover to visit Karl Ulrich Walterbach to talk with. And Miller said, come on to in our flat and let's have a party, you know. And when we sit there, they were watching TV. And Faces of Death, a film, a movie, and he said, hey, look at this scene, at this scene. And then it coming from the secretary saying, hey, you are playing in Rio, you play in Brazil. And it was like a shock for the band. He said, hey, we don't play in Berlin, in Brazil this year. We were in Brazil, we played in Rio. No, we don't want. And Walterbach came and said, yes, you will, you have to. And the mood in the band, it was from 100 to 0
yeah.
in 1 second. And right. And Little said, hey, we are so fed up with being in hotels, etc. Yes, and when we, directly when we met him, or with the whole band, but Miller was talking, and he said, okay, I hate to go to Brazil next month. We don't want to play in Rio. Yeah, but they had to, because Walter Bach has already booked that, you know.
Right.
And they were slaves, like you said. They were slaves, and they hated it. And the other thing was they were betrayed with merchandise.
Right.
Because they had a deal with which they did not earn some money, you know. But because I knew and saw all this in front of my face, I said, okay, I will never sign these deals with merchandise, etc., with Walter Bach, because I know that will be your band's debt, because you never will earn money. Yeah, and he did it with some other bands as well. We did it with Rage, you know. Rage made, I don't think it was 12 albums or 13 albums. I don't know exactly. I can't remember exactly. But just in the moment when they changed the company after 20 years being with Noise, the band coming forward. First, it was stagnation. It was a point. They made every year they made an album. Nobody cared about it. And after quitting Noise, they became famous here in Europe. You know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the first time they were on TV with the commercial, it was from the other company. It was not from Noise Records.
Right.
So it was that's the story with Noise.
You know, Axel, you have a very unique style of guitar playing, in my opinion. And when you listen to some of the opening riffs, let's say on Puppet on a String, or you listen to some of the opening riffs on FTB on the latest album, you know, that style really shows and shines on those songs. And I typically don't ask people this because it's one of the most typical questions asked by people that interview bands, but I'm going to, you know, take a little departure from my routine here and ask you, you know, what guitar players really inspired you? Who were the people that really influenced your style of playing? Especially because your style to me is pretty unique.
Yes, I think in the first beginnings it was some guitar player like Rory Gallagher, for example. It was more a blues guitar player.
Right.
And it was my first hero. And then I think I was 15 years old, and he was not very famous, but, you know, he was in TV here on the, we have a show called Rock Palace, and it was the European Eurovision concert, and he was in this night, he was playing, and I was totally a fan of him. I said, okay, he's the king of guitars. And this was my first great influence. And then after that coming, it was more not only heavy metal guitar players like Gary Moore, for example, and Mike Oldfield. I don't know if you know Mike Oldfield, but they are guitar players. They are very melody.
Melodic.
Yeah, melodic. And not so much into heavy metal, for example. And then coming all these other stuff, the bands like Judas Priest and Iron Maiden, and thing with two guitarists like Iron Maiden, for example. And those were the most influences over the years I had as a guitar player. And I like more the melodic style than all these speedy. Yeah, you say like, I don't know if you know the Shrapnel Records releases from the
right.
90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is too much, you know. They are so funny, so similar, and that's not so much my thing that I would prefer. So it's more, from my side, it was more the melodic guitarist who inspired me.
So out of curiosity, have you started writing for the next studio album?
Yes, we have. We wanted to start this week with the. We already started with the recording, but we because we have now our own studio, we can record when we have an idea. We can record immediately. So we started already with the new studio album, but I cannot say when it's finished because we have just to sample the ideas and then make the concept, etc. I have a concept from the thematic here. I have a concept already, but just from the songs, they have to fit to us, you know, and we make a decision, I think, mid of the year, if we can record the rest of the songs. So we already started with a new album.
So for my last question, Axel, when was the, do you have any last words to say to the fans that are going to be listening to this interview?
Yes, I would like to, if I would very much appreciate if somebody gives us a chance to listen to our albums and the last ones, for example, and to give the band a chance to be in one of the bands they are listening to. And that's that's best what can happen for us, and that's what I would like to wish us.
Awesome, man.
All right, hold on a second.